we're entering a time where we're leading up to Easter. And we've been going through a series called Encountering God. So we're finishing today that this series, and Tyron's actually going to be preaching next week. Woo! So come and hear him. And as I say, he's going to be preaching. It's going to be Mother's Day, but we're also going to be dedicating Ariella to God. So that will be a great morning. But this morning, I wanted to end the series on encountering God through the cross. And just looking at some scriptures and just encouraging ourselves, really, again, and reminding ourselves and appropriating. Do you know what I mean by that? Seeing what Jesus has done, seeing what he's made possible for us, and applying it to our lives. You know, because so often God has done so much for us and made so much possible, and it's kind of out there for us. But unless we actually take it and apply it and make it personal to our lives and let God actually do some heart surgery in us, it can just remain theory on a page when God has made it possible for him to give us breakthrough in our lives. And so some of what I'm going to share this morning, you might think, actually, yeah, I know that. But I want to encourage us to look afresh again. And as we read the Bible, I'm so thankful to God because time and time and time again, God has intervened in history to rescue mankind, hasn't he? And, you know, because mankind has a habit of eventually getting ourselves into such a mess. And, you know, we think that we can do it. But, you know, the gospel and the cross shows us that we can't do it. And one of the first things that Jesus that he spoke about, one of the things he needs to do is to break the power of pride in our lives. Because the cross shows us that we need to be reliant upon God. He went to the cross. He died for us. He took the initiative for us. We cannot do anything better than the cross. We need to accept the work that he did on the cross for us. We can't do anything ourselves, can we? We cannot earn God's favor. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot earn forgiveness. We have to accept what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we can't better what he did. I mean, if there's anybody in here that can better what Jesus did, then I want to follow you. I'll become your disciple. But there is no one, and no one can better what Jesus did for us on the cross. But actually, for us to be Christians and to follow Christ, we have to deal with pride in our lives, because there's no place for somebody just saying, well, actually, I don't need Jesus, and I don't need the cross. I don't need what he's offering. And, you know, it can be a big thing for people to come to that point and to say, actually, I can't manage it on my own. I need God's help. There are many people out there, not saying anybody in this room, that are control freaks. I want to take control of my life. I don't want someone telling me what to do. Actually, if you're a Christian, then you need to let that root of pride die in you, however difficult it is, and say, I submit and I surrender my life to God. And now what I'm going to accept what he did for me, and I'm going to, whatever he tells me to do, I want to be obedient and do it. So the cross immediately shows us that we have issues in our heart. The cross shows us that we're dependent upon Jesus totally. So what Jesus did on the cross was a once and for all act of love and sacrifice, a sacrifice that God was willing to accept. The sin of the world was laid upon Jesus, so that for us and those that believe in his name may receive all the benefits: mercy, love, forgiveness, and the blessing of acceptance rather than judgment. It came through the cross, and mankind needs that encounter with God. And we need that encounter with God. I was talking to Ali today and I said, you know, we can't become complacent as our church, but the church. We can't forget those people that are out around, just driving by now, going into town to do their shopping because it's free parking on a Sunday in Piri's Place car park. Wow. We can't be so complacent and say, well, we've got it all right, and therefore we can just be self-sustaining in our own little church here. You know, God's given us a mission to... The world needs salvation, because if the world doesn't accept Jesus, the Bible says, and we presumably are Christians because we're here on a Sunday, because we could be doing a lot other things. The Bible says if you don't have Jesus, then you're going to hell. So there's a lifeline that God has extended to mankind through the cross. And we've got to continually be casting that out, continually engaging with people, continually giving people hope by telling them about what Jesus has done. Because God has reached out to mankind with a lifeline. And he's told us that we are the ones that are the messengers of that. You look very excited about that thing. But if you realize it, if that is the only hope, then let's not stay quiet. The cross is so powerful that without it, there's no salvation and no Christianity. Actually, without the cross, we have nothing as Christians. Comes back to the cross. Always the cross. Comes back to what Jesus did for us. Comes back always, consistently. He's won for us the opportunity for eternal life, and he won it for us on the cross. He's won the opportunity for us to have life in abundance and life free while we're living upon this earth now, while we're physically, what, and it came through the cross. It's not all about how we're going to live in heaven. It's actually what we can live like now, that we've been set free. The power of Satan has been destroyed by Jesus dying on the cross, which means that we have been set free from addictions, from the power of the enemy, the fear of death, every bondage, everything that the enemy tried to come and do. And the Bible says that that Satan is the god of this world. And so that he, and we'll talk a bit about this in a minute, that there is an element there, that Satan has plans and schemes for your life. He hates you. He detests you. He wants to destroy you. We're in a battle. But Christ on the cross has broken the power of authority that Satan has over your life. It's the cross. Without the cross, we've got nothing to hope in. But what Jesus has done on the cross for us was tremendous victory. Jesus won for us victory on the cross. We are people of victory. We are people as Christians of hope. We are people, because of the cross, that have a different outlook and a different perspective. We can think differently. We can act differently. We've got a different nature, the Bible says, that we've put on the new now because of what Jesus has won for us on the cross. We're on the champion's side, but not only does he come to share his victory, he doesn't live at a distance from us, but the wonderful thing is that God says he comes to make his home in us. We have the resurrection life available to us. Jesus not only triumphed over the enemy, but smashed the power of the enemy over our lives so that we could be released into a place of freedom. The cross showed Jesus, in one sense, as vulnerable. There was Jesus hanging on the cross. And the devil looked at him and he thought, ha ha, I've got him. I've won. Look at him in his weakness and vulnerability hanging upon the cross. But it was all in God's plan, wasn't it? That he would die a death, the death of a criminal. That he would die so vulnerable, so in a place of vulnerability. Yet 3 days later, he rose again. Wow! And the devil and all of his plans and what he thought were totally smashed and totally reversed. Now, I've got a few scriptures that I'm going to look at, and we might get through some of them. today. But Isaiah, some of these are going to be familiar, but it's the word of God. It is wonderful. Isaiah 53. Listen to this. He was despised and rejected by men. 53 verse 3. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like the one with whom men hide their faces. He was despised, yet we esteemed him not. Surely, most definitely, surely, definitely, he has done it. He took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. One of the benefits of the cross is that you can have peace. Supernatural peace. The peace that passes all understanding is something that the Bible says comes directly from what Jesus did upon the cross. You know, there's so many people don't have peace. The world is not a peaceful place, but God says that we can have peace through the cross. You can have peace in your life. Even in times of difficulty and problems, and I know many people are going through issues and challenges, but even in those hard and difficult times, you can have a deep-rooted sense that God is in control, regardless of the circumstances that are happening. At the end of the day, either if you're a Christian, then ultimately you know that whatever happens, God is in control. And you can know that, and that's one of the aspects of peace that God wants to give to us. He was pierced and crushed, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of his all. Now I'm realizing that I've only got a few minutes to go, and now I'm going to be speeding up. The good news is that price has been paid. It's been finished. We can't add anything more to what he has done. It is finished. That's it. You can't better it. You can't do anything to go above and beyond what Jesus has done. There's nothing we or anyone else can improve or better what Jesus did. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. Nothing worse than when you give a verse out and you look it up and that chapter doesn't exist or that verse doesn't exist. It's like, oh my goodness, what... Anyway, we're all right now. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How does God see us now because of the cross? As righteous, as acceptable, as a child, as worthy to receive the benefits and the blessings of all that God has made possible for us. That's how God sees you. May not be how you see you. You might see yourself as undeserving. You may see yourself as a dirty, rotten sinner. But if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and you're living for him, he sees you as righteous. And he doesn't want to leave you the same. You know, there may be things in our lives that we know that God doesn't have his blessings upon. Then there's always God's continually working on us and to refine us and to bring us back into line with where he wants us to be and where actually we know that we should be. But God sees you as righteous. He sees you as acceptable. He'll never reject you when we come to him and say, God, I need you in my life. The Bible is full of good news. The Bible is full of good news because of the cross. The gospel is good news. It's exciting. It's the most exciting thing that I know. I mean, the gospel is worth giving everything for. You know, sometimes we have to realize, what are we here? What are we doing? And is actually what we're about worth giving up what God calls us to do. Because being a Christian in this day and age will cause us to have to give up certain things. And is it worth it? And I want to say, from me and from my house, we'll serve the Lord. Yes, it is worth it. Jesus is worth it. The gospel is worth it. Why? Because there is no other alternative. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It is worth it. It is worth the struggle. It is worth the sacrifice. It's worth sometimes the pain. It is worth sometimes dragging yourself to church when you don't feel like it, just so you can be with other believers and give. I don't mean give of your money, but I mean, well, give of your money. But I mean, to not just to receive, but to bless other people. It's worth it. The gospel is worth it. Jesus is worth it because he's done everything for us. Don't grow cold. Don't be discouraged. Don't get disheartened. It is worth it. And we need to encourage each other in that. It is. I'm not saying life is easy. Life sometimes throws some big blows at us. But let's not lose sight of what God has won for us and made possible for us. Romans 5 verse 1. We've got this thing, you know, Acts and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts and Romans follow on. You know that you learn. We're teaching our kids, and I say to them, "What's the book that comes after Acts?" They say, "Follow on." It's like, no, it's not follow. It's Acts. It's Romans. Like the book of follow on. Yeah, okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, we have been justified through faith, and we have peace. There it is again, peace. That's something that is an inheritance of the cross that God has given to us. You know, sometimes we need to be told these things. So we say, oh my goodness, actually, that is something I should be walking in. That we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you need peace? God can give it to you. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 talks about that we no longer have to trust in ourselves. That we have somebody bigger that we can trust in. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Yeah! Oh my goodness, revival has come into the house. People are getting excited. Yeah. Hebrews 2 says that Jesus gave his life to break the power of the enemy over the fear of death. Jesus willingly gave his life and became like us so that we could be free of the fear of death. Jesus has made it possible for us to live the rest of our lives differently. No fear of death. Or actually no fear of anything. Isn't that amazing? You have to be people of fearing about the what ifs. You know, I mean, fear is something that has been a big influence upon my family. And you know what? There are times where you don't worry. And when you're a worrier, you worry about the fact that you're not worrying. That is true. And that is the bondage of fear. And it's a constant battle for me, personally. I have to battle against it. And I have to just keep applying faith. And I have to keep reminding myself that I'm not a person of fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Ali will tell you it's, you know, there. Sometimes just because we're Christians doesn't mean that some of the battles go away, but we've got the weaponry now to overcome. And so you might think, you know, Steve's all right, he's the pastor, he's got nothing to battle with. I have my battles. I mean, goodness. So what's that? Thank you. I need to get saved. I have my battles. I have my fears. I have my things I need to do with. Just like you, I'm no different to you. Each of us have those things, but we need to apply the word of God. And otherwise, what is the option? We just like we're just overwhelmed by the enemy's plans and strategies. We have to stand up. We have to fight. We're in a battle. And, the sooner that we realize that, the better and the more effective that we will be. Galatians 2 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we've got a new hope, a new outlook, a new identity to embrace. We're different now because of what he's done. Can you see this? Just like two or three words on each page, just like that. There you go. It's for us now to live differently, to think differently, and to receive all that he has won for us. What does it say in Revelation chapter 12? Verse, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. And, Satan, and I'm not going to major on this, but Satan and demons are real. And they're as real today as they were when Jesus walked upon the earth. And, one of Satan's plans is to make us think that he doesn't exist. Or also to think, for us to think that he is just this man with dressed in red with horns. And, the picture that we are painted in the media. Apparently someone was blogging on the internet and they said, actually, is Satan really as bad as we're told? I mean, it's portrayed so in some places to be just a kind of just a like a friend. Satan is not your friend. Whatever and however he is portrayed in the media, he is not your friend, and he is out actually to bring destruction to you. And sometimes when we sense and feel resistance, when we're really going for God and we want to serve him, and you know what I mean, sometimes that's the enemy coming against you. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11 says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, that we will be not unaware of his schemes. You've got to understand that Satan has a scheme and a plan for your life, and we're not going to major on it, but it's good to be aware, that's all. Because sometimes we can just kind of just like walk through life and suddenly something happens to us and we say, wow, what happened? Jesus loves me. Why would that thing? You're in a battle. And the enemy is out to do what he can to derail you and me. And we have to recognize that we're in a battle. We have to be aware of his schemes. Don't worry about it. Don't major on it. But be aware that the enemy is out to cause you problems. Realize that we're in a war. What did Jesus do when he was on the cross? As I said this earlier, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The devil thought that he had finished Jesus off. But Jesus rose again to defeat the power of the enemy. And you know what? He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and for your benefit, so that you could live differently, so that you could have a chance and a hope, so that you could live in a place of freedom and not being oppressed of the enemy. I mean, Jesus didn't need to prove anything to himself or to you and to me. But he did it. The reason he went to the cross was that he did it so that you could have life and life in abundance and freedom. And it's amazing. That means that Satan now, if you're a Christian, if you've given your life to God, you're walking with him, that Satan has no, doesn't have to have any power over you. You are free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. How is that possible? Because of the cross. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. There is no limit to what God... That was point one. Another nine to go. No, I'm only joking. Just quickly run through. There is no limit to what God can do. Is that true? What God can do in an instant You know, sometimes, you know, doctors are great, medication is great, all of those things are great. Absolutely, we need those things. But sometimes God can do in a moment, in a fraction, what it may take a human being a lifetime to achieve and maybe not get there. But God can do it, can't he? And I've known and I've seen things beyond what can be explained. How does someone get healed? But it's an intervention from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies, it is he who condemns. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger and the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Yet in all these things, we are more. Wow. There's a few people lifting up their hand. We are more than conquerors. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything you could name, anything you could write in there, any word, any situation, any problem, any circumstance, anything. Getting the idea? Anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What's God saying? He's saying that he is for us. God is for us. God has good intentions for you. Get it into your mind. Get it into your heart. Get it into your spirit. Get it into you that God is not against you. He is for you. You know, sometimes we can be in church for years and we can say, actually, am I really worthy to be healed? Or am I really worthy? You know, I was with a family member this week and they were saying, why has this thing happened to us? It's amazing, isn't it, that when bad things happen, people always ask, you know, why has God done this? But often when good things happen, we don't acknowledge. How does that work? I mean, it's when the great things happen, we forget about God, but when bad things happen, it's always his fault. And actually, that isn't God. And I was sharing with this person saying, actually, that's not God. God's not out to give us a hard time. God loves us. He's for us. He wants good things for us. And it came through the cross. And actually, if there's an element that actually maybe God is and wants to cause me problems, and actually if there is an element actually that God's perhaps not totally for me, then if that's the case, then really maybe on this occasion I don't deserve it. Do you understand what I mean? God is totally for you. The Bible says it. I don't say it. If it was me, I may not be. But are you understanding? We have to get it in our heads that God is totally for it. Who can separate us from the love of God? God is for you. And therefore, what God says in his word and the promises that he says that he wants to give to his people, you are able to receive it. God validates you. If you're a Christian, am I making myself clear and under? My wife's sighing. Okay, moving on quickly before this escalates. You know, God doesn't want just to heal us physically. Are you listening to me? Okay, just all turn away from Colin. Sandra will give him a hard time later. Yeah, it's like God doesn't just want to heal us physically in our body. You know, God wants to heal us emotionally. And God wants to heal us of failed dreams and expectations. God's not a... what's the word I'm looking for? One-trick God. He's not. He wants to heal you physically, yes, but emotionally, of every many areas in our lives. You can read that in Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self, but put on the new self, which is to be renewed." The cross makes it possible for us to have a new identity and a new outlook. We talked about having peace, and the sad thing is that many people live with different phobias and fears and feelings of inadequacy and all kinds of emotional stuff that goes on in people's minds. Now, Jenny gave a testimony the other day and saying, you know, that she used to come to church and used to look at everybody else and think everybody else's life was sorted, but she would be struggling with stuff in her life. I would look at Jenny and say her life is well sorted. Probably many of you thought that and thought, you know, if there's anybody who's got it together, Jenny's got it together. How often do we come to church and we are here looking at other people and say they don't struggle with anything, but I'm the one who's struggling with this emotional issue, this hurt, this unrealized dream or whatever it is, and you know, we're struggling because we think actually that everybody else is doing well when actually probably everybody else is looking at us thinking the same thing. We don't know actually what's going on in each other's lives, do we? But whatever, if you're struggling today, there is hope. Because this is what the cross is about. Jesus came to bring hope. He came to bring an end to oppression. He came to bring an end to addiction. He came to bring an end to all the junk that the enemy throws at each and every one of us. And you're worthy. Yes? You are worthy because we just read it. You've been made righteous. That means that you are worthy to receive the benefits and the blessings of God. So don't go against what the Word of God says. Don't disqualify yourself. How long has God been waiting for you? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, He chose us before the creation of the world. He chose you before the creation. He knew you. You were on His heart. He was waiting for you before the creation of the world. You didn't just turn up and God say, "My goodness, Brian." You know, we've been on His heart. He's been waiting to love us and to engage us and pour all that He is and all that He won for us on the cross into our lives. We're not a surprise to Him. We're not a disappointment to Him. We've been made righteous through the cross. Just a couple more minutes. This isn't a preacher's couple more minutes. I'm then going to go on for another half an hour. Psalm 9. Are you with me? Just turn to the person beside you. Just have a 20 second chat. Just ask if they're all right. Go on. Is everybody all right? Fantastic. Okay, just the last couple of minutes, and then we'll wrap this up. It's in Psalm chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed and a stronghold in times of trouble." You know, in our lives, there can be good strongholds, and there can also be bad strongholds. The Bible says that God is a stronghold for us, but also the enemy wants to create strongholds in our lives. Jesus on the cross smashed the power of the enemy and the negative strongholds that he wants to develop and build up in our lives. You know, a stronghold is a heavily fortified place. That's what a stronghold means. And sometimes, you know, we can have, if we're honest, we can all, you know, do the sort of, you know, we can all pretend that we're fine. Or we can say actually that there are areas of difficulty, struggle, or even what's even more difficult to admit is unsurrendered areas of our lives that we're not prepared to let God get into. And those can become areas of stronghold in our lives. And you know what the enemy's plan is that he takes those areas that are unsubmitted to God and areas that we're not going to confess and we just don't want anybody to know about, and those things begin to take more and more and more control over our lives. And generally, if we have one stronghold that or one area that's unsurrendered to God, generally it doesn't remain alone. Generally, what you've done is you've opened a door, and you'll find that there will be other areas of compromise that begin to come into our lives. And you know, Jesus on the cross has made it possible for those strongholds and those areas of struggle, those areas that want to come and be influential in our lives, for those things to be broken and smashed. But you know, it means that we need to surrender them to God. All kinds of things. Could be pornography. It could be pride. Could be anger. Could be a whole load of different areas that people are struggling with. And you know, if we don't deal with those things and those areas and those issues, those things will gradually squeeze the life out of you. That's the enemy's plan. Jesus says that I've come that you may have life and life in abundance. That's the message of the cross. And now when you start to mention sins, everybody goes quiet. Eyes down. Okay. 1 John 1:3 says, but the Son of God came to destroy. Yes. The works. Yes. Of the devil. Of the evil one. God wants to deliver us from deception. He wants us free. What does it say in Romans 6 verse 12? Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Don't sin. Don't carry on doing it. Submit those things to God. Come under the authority of God and get yourself free from those things. Pride is the oldest sin, probably one of the things that so many people have to deal with. What does it say in Proverbs 16 verse 18? Pride goes before a fall, before destruction. And pride was the one that was one of the main elements that caused Satan to fall. And I come back, and I'm just going to finish with it. Going to come back. The cross shows us that we need to deal with pride and a self-sufficient attitude in our lives. We need God. You need God. I need God with every fiber of my being. So it's impossible to encounter God without the cross. And you know, God didn't die for us to live a compromised Christian walk. Are you listening to me? Jesus didn't die so that we could be flippy-flappy, compromising, wishy-washy Christians. He died so that we could be people of conviction, of love, that can mirror who Jesus is and can live according to the Word of God, not what we think is right or wrong, but that we continue. I loved what Will was saying about taking the Word of God and then overlaying, you know, like we used to do at school with tracing paper. It would, you know, and then you overlay your experience with the Word of God and see how it matches up. I thought that's such a simple thing. You know, because sometimes you got the Word of God here and we take our experience and we overlay and it's different. And then we've got a choice to make, haven't we? But we should always be taking the Word of God and overlaying our lives, checking it against the Word of God. Checking it against. And if it doesn't reflect what the Word of God says, then we need to do some minor adjustments, don't we? To bring our lives in line with the Word of God. Okay. Life is too short. The need for us to walk as God intended is great. And what we need to understand is that the cross made it possible for us to be free from addictions, fear, guilt, sin that lots of us face. The cross has made it possible for us to be free. The cross has made it possible for us to live differently. And just to finish, there are many, many scriptures that I haven't shared, but let's come back and let's make the cross central to our Christian walk and embrace and receive all that Jesus has won for us on the cross. I want just to us to pray a simple prayer as we finish, just to ask God, because time has gone, ask God to deal with areas of compromise, areas that we know perhaps in our lives where that are unsurrendered, and to come back again and just say, I want to major on the cross and accept everything that Jesus has done for us on the cross. Shall we pray? Shall we just bow our heads? I love the Word of God. It says that those that called upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. And so, Father, we want to come today to ask that the power of the cross would become, Lord, more evident upon and in our lives, Lord, that the power that you released upon the cross to break and to smash the power of the enemy that was once over us, that now, Father, we've been released and set free, and we thank you, Lord. We just want to come this morning to come and receive of that. And maybe we can just all maybe pray a prayer this morning and just invite God to come and deal with areas in our lives. Should we do that? Should we all, maybe we can just all pray together. Maybe I can just lead us in a prayer. And you know, if you're serious in praying this prayer and you think, actually, I can't manage this on my own, come and get some help from somebody. Because if we don't, we are just playing games with God when God has made it possible for us. And believe you me, there is nothing I don't think any of you could say in this room that would shock me. So let's just say this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the power of the cross. I thank you that you disarmed principalities and powers. And I thank you that you've broken the power of the curse that was over my life. And today, Lord Jesus, I want to ask you that you would come into my life, come into areas of my life that I've hidden from you, that I've not surrendered to you, and I've not exposed to your power. I ask that today, you, Lord Jesus, would break the power of addiction, that you would break the power of sin, you would break the power of pride, and you would break the power of those areas of compromise. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've overcome for me, that in you I am victorious, and in you I am worthy, and I take hold of what you've won for me. And Lord Jesus, help me to apply the power of the cross to my life every day. I thank you for setting me free. And I thank you for healing in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.